Alright, so this is the EAA chapter 1147 meeting for, what is the date? November 17th, 2012. I guess I'll start off with myself. I was elected president from the last meeting. I'm Sarah Floyd. And we also had a new secretary elected, and that's Jesse Hyman, and he's not here currently. Everybody, I handed out if you have a little packet on the back, we have some questions listed on the back just so that we can have a better understanding of your interests and what you want to do with the chapter. If you don't mind filling this out, if you need a pen, we've got some up here. And I look forward to reading these. So I guess we'll go ahead and start off with the old business and the accounts and everything.
Well, we'll start off with the Treasury Report. Is everybody satisfied with the Treasury Report for the last meeting? Okay. Second. All right. November 17th meeting. We'll start with the checking account. October 20th, balance on the account was $1,319.60. October 22nd, we paid the November 5th, 2011 food bill from Gene Baker, which came to $428.71. November 1st, we withdrew the cash draw from the bank of $100. November 2nd, I deposited Will Double's dues, $20. November 5th, I deposited George Moncrief's dues, for 2013, of $20. November 5th, I redeposited the cash drawer, which would be $100. And on the 5th, I also deposited the gross take minus the cash drawer from our fly-in, which would have been $554. November 17th, that leaves us with a balance on our account of $1,484.89. Now note, we still need to pay Doug Floyd for his soda and water and other things that he bought that we used during our fly-in, and also Gene Baker for the 2012 food. Gene Baker has already sent us a bill, and I've got an itemized amount here. My printer is out of ink, apparently, so I had to write this down in longhand. But it came to $409.87. I believe that's a 150-pound hog was $208, and the rest was for other various things used in the beans and the purloin and such. As for petty cash, nothing much has changed. October 20th, we had $39.18, and we're still holding on November 17th, $39.18. Thank you. I hope you accept that.
So how do we do with the barbecue?
Well, depends on how much I owe you. Like I say, we brought in $554. I took out a $100 cash draw this year because it seemed like I always was taking back way too much money. Usually we took out $200, and I did it as a 61s and balance in 10s mostly. And it worked out real good. So after taking back the cash draw out of it, we had took in $554. And our meat is $409.87.
So we grossed $560 and we spent $430 just in Gene?
$409.87. I didn't do the longhand.
Okay. So next year we need to promote a little bit better.
Next year we need to not do email. Email does not work. We need to do the cards.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it ain't none of my business. I'm out. But if you want to survive and you want to do it, you better do those cards.
I don't
don't know who you're from. I don't know. You haven't told me you're going to send me an email, so I know who you are.
That's the thing about email. We had lots of emails bounce. I tried to send them on to people so you could see they bounced. And then, because people don't keep them up to date on the internet. You know, they change and move. Everything's in flux.
I do, but I'm just saying.
And the other thing is, people are scared of spam. And it'll go straight to junk, you know. The email thing just don't work. But it's great. Email's great for us, for personal communications. Don't get me wrong. I depend on it. But for announcements, you know, that the people don't know it's coming, I don't think it's a good way to do it.
I'm an example of a forgetful old fellow who's interested. Forgets that there's a meeting.
Uh-huh.
I think if you have a list of potential people to come,
uh-huh,
and you assign two or three, I mean, I could even volunteer to be one of the hound dogs who does it.
Uh-huh.
And you go after somebody and you say, I mean, somebody calls, reminds them, calls again, you know, do you have it written down? Are you coming? Do you need a ride? That kind of thing,
right,
I think would bring in a lot more people. I mean, I'm an example of having interest.
Yeah.
And just la-di-da, forget about it.
Well, see, what we do is we do, traditionally, throughout the years, what we have done is two things. We send a trifold flyer out probably about 2 or 3 weeks in advance. That goes only to the presidents and the vice presidents, so that they have time enough to announce to their people that there's a fly-in coming up. And then about a week or a little bit less than a week before the fly-in, we send postcards. And the good thing about the postcard is you'll have to look at it before you throw it away. I mean, it's not something you got to open up. So, you know, because if they got to open it up, they'll just throw it away. They won't open it up. So, anyhow.
Well, a postcard can get lost in other mail between the newspaper.
Right.
Somebody actually looks at my mail, so I might not see it.
We're trying to cover an area of...
it's the personal contact that would drag.
And I agree, but we're trying to cover an area of North Carolina, part of Virginia, part of Tennessee, all of South Carolina. I mean, it's an extensive area. We'd have to have a pretty serious volunteer.
How many people are on the list?
We send out the postcards traditionally. We didn't do it this year. Traditionally, we send out 601 postcards, and 52, we send notices to 52 presidents and vice presidents. Okay, so, you know, we have about 40 airplanes or so that flies in, and they come in from all over. I mean, this is not a local.
I spoke to somebody. I thought you were talking about members in this area trying to get into a meeting like this.
Oh, no. No, we're talking about the fly-in. But now, that's a different subject, really, but that is a good idea, I think. I think that's different. That's something needs to happen. Well, I think they're going to tell you. See, I'm the outgoing secretary, for those who don't know. We elected another one, and he's AWOL. So, but anyhow, well, I guess he's AWOL. He didn't walk in, did he? Well, anyhow, they're going to talk about some new things that's going to happen, and sounds great to me. Okay, like doing away with these kind of meetings for the general members. You know, I think it'll be a good thing. But the fly-in part, I really think you need to go back to it. But that means you need to save up a lot of money because this is expensive. Okay, this is not cheap. Postcard rate today is what, 38 cents or something like that, times 601. You know, don't sound like much, but if you do the math, it comes out pretty good. It's about $200 worth of postage.
It's a good freeway of doing it. It's called Barnstormers.
Barnstormers, yeah. Well, with price of gas so doggone expensive now, I don't know. I don't know if we could do that.
What, pre-added Barnstormers?
Oh, you mean Barnstormers.com?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can do that. Yeah. I mean, but that's the kind of stuff we ought to do.
If I had been here at the fly, because I would have known about it.
Yeah.
Because I read that every day of the week.
Well, see, we do announcements everywhere, but I didn't think about barnstormers.com for an announcement, but that's a good idea. We do announcements on flyin.com, and there's several different fly-in places that we do it.
I agree with you. That's not like a postcard.
There's, I'm telling you, when we were at Green Sea, people would get out of the airplane with a postcard in their hand and say, "Do it, didn't they?" And they'd say, "We're home. We're here." You know.
Someone say Thursday morning, I went to the mailbox and I got the postcard, and I didn't know what I was going to do this weekend, and this reminded me this is where I needed to go.
Yeah, and that's why we sent it last minute, because if it's sent too early, then they'll set it on a refrigerator or something, forget it's there, then they forget. You know, so you want them to get it Thursday or Friday for a Saturday event.
But you can only send those to people you know.
Yeah, that's right. But we do the flyins.com. That's true. We do the flyins.com, but I didn't think about the Barnstormers. For the secretary next year, that would be a great idea. Okay, or any other things that's like that, that you can think of, you know, places like that.
And especially with the younger population, because I think that it would be important to pull in a younger population in this so that we can continue aviation and building aircraft. And the technology is going to reach that that crowd much easier than a postcard will. And so maybe we could do a more eclectic approach and do many things.
Right, I agree. We should do emails as well as publications and the little postcards, because there's a lot of us that we look at things in writing and we comprehend them better. But the younger generation I know is more on instant messages. I agree.
Facebook and all that.
I think we need someone to take care of building our contact list. Now, I understand that Aircraft Spruce will share some of the contacts. I don't know if they will give you the contact list, but they will distribute within a certain number of zip codes. And if we could do that, say if you're interested in getting on our contact list, reply back. But I think they probably sell to just about every builder in the area.
Wouldn't EAA do that too? Doesn't EAA sell an area contact us?
Yeah, they do. That's how we get our names. Yeah. But they will not give emails. They're not gonna let you email anybody. And that's an ongoing battle. They're operating in 50 years ago or something. But
one difference between Spruce and EAA is Spruce will hit everybody. EAA will only hit EAA members, and there are people out there that are not EAA members. So, speak to the rascal. I was rascally today.
Your membership is double. We voted on that.
Well, I was preparing everything to come today to have everything with me, and I walk out without the keys to the car after the garage door closed. So I had to figure out how to get back in the house to get the keys.
For everybody who don't know, this is Jesse Hyman. He's our new secretary.
How are we doing?
I've begun recording.
Okay.
All right, so any further comments or concerns about the barbecue? I wasn't able to be there. I had previous obligations.
The other issue was Georgetown had a fly-in in conjunction with ours. Semi-last-minute notification. In other words, ours is scheduled every year, same time. Okay. But if they're going to have it the same time as us next year, might want to look at changing ours well in advance.
I think we need to communicate with other chapters.
Well, they're not a chapter. They're just a city and our county. And
of course, they were pulling just local people. And, you know, you have to look at are people flying as much as they used to be.
Well, actually, Georgetown was pulling people from all the states everywhere.
Did they have planes flying?
I presume they did.
Well, I was told there was really no planes came to it. It was mostly a local area function.
See, they had the, what do you call them guys?
Tuskegee Airmen.
They had those guys as trying to draw people in. a lot of people that come to our fly-in are from that area and west, Andrews and all out there in that area. I don't think we got any of them this time. I didn't see any. But.
Well, I don't think any of our competition really affected us. I think it's other things. Our lack of getting the news out and the price of gas had a lot to do with it, I believe. The only other barbecue that I saw is the Stanton Barbecue. That's an annual thing that's been going on for years. It's been our competition for the last 10 years, I guess. And it might have made the difference for people that was close to it that said, hey, we'll fly into that one. It will cost us less. Maybe we can get home on the same tank of fuel. And I could see that. But I think it's right down to the fact that we didn't send those postcards out. And if we do that next year, we'll see the people come in. Because we had a best day ever. Couldn't ask for a better day. Unless it was Stag's fly-in. That was perfect light and bearable.
Well, on the postcard subject, you and Jesse will have all of the templates and everything. It's already pre-done. All the merge files are done. Everything. The only thing I do every year is I contact EAA again, and I get a new updated database list so that we know we're going to valid people. And I change that data file, the merge file. And that's it. You know, change the comment to say 2013 instead of 2012. You know, that's it. Same thing goes out every year. So it's already been done. It's ready for you. There's probably a million other things that needs to be done, though. There's always a better way to market. Always.
We'll start in the early spring, early fall next year.
Did you want to present on iPads?
Yeah, who's called with an iPad? Is it good? It's a little bit difficult to see sometimes, but depending on where the sun is coming through the cockpit. But overall, I like it. One thing I'd like to do with the new meetings is get into new stuff that's coming out, new techniques. 2 years ago, my son and I flew into a thunderstorm coming out of Charleston. One of the big towers right over McClellanville. We were watching that, the towers, and my son says, Dad, what was that flash? I said, it must have been the strobe on top of the flower, on top of the tower. And then the second flash came, I said, son, don't pay any attention to that. Your dad's going to panic for both of us. So we jumped down couldn't get into Georgetown. What's a little field? Sweeney right next to it? You know what they got at Sweeney? Absolutely nothing. And I was scared we were going to get into our reserve on our way back. So with the new iPad and looking at my research, trying to figure out what we're going to do, because I didn't want to buy a 696, and I've flown with a 496 with the little XM radio or XM satellite for weather. Well, the new iPads, which Jesse has in front of him, there's a software, well, the new name is application or app, with ForeFlight, which has all the maps and all the information you traditionally get through the various books. Now they've got weather and traffic on these things. And it's very easy to work with. There's no wires. This is a little video off of YouTube. I'm going to flash up. What did I do?
Just one button and zero wire.
Service, which are your maps on the iPad. The iPad is a little interface device which gives you weather from this device, and it stores your maps, and it has a built-in GPS, so it's tracking your route. And the cost is $799 for this. They got a little rebate going right now for the end of the year. The map subscription in the iPad is you can get one or two states for free, or you can get the entire continental U.S. for $79, flat rate. And the government gives you the weather, gives you the GPS, and gives you the map updates for free. So it's a one-time investment. The iPads, you can get the slower ones, the original iPads right now, you can buy them used for $150. Not very good machines, not very fast, and don't have a lot of capability. Or you can get the new, it's the iPad and then the iPad 2, and now they've gone back to the iPad. They did not sign a 3 number to it. Those are running $400 for the little computer, but you can use it for anything other, for a lot of other things other than just aviation. So if you want to get in on the cheap, you can do it for $800. If you want to go to a nicer system, you're going to end up putting in less than $1,000, which still is a lot cheaper than a Garmin 696, which are now the cheapest rate is around $2,500. And you can only use it for one thing, and that's for aviation. So we've decided for our family, I have two children flying and myself, we're going to go with an app, with a Macintosh or an iPad so we can use it personally and invest a little bit of money for a GPS and a weather receiver. So that's a new product thing that is not really new. It's been out for a while. And as the government's puts on the traffic control or traffic reporting, the iPad will be able to pick it up. It's a gadget. The good thing about it, if you don't have power in your plane, it all runs off a battery for 8 hours. So maybe next month I'll have one and we'll play with it a little bit. That's the new product, new technology stuff out there.
Also along the same lines, you see where if you're applying GPS wise navigation now, you have to file an international flight plan. And if you're not using GPS-wise, you can use the standard flight plan that you're using right now.
There's no, that's
sweet. Is to meet the evidence.
I don't think I even know what an international flight plan looks
like. It's a different form. Basically, is what they said. It was a different form that you had to use. That the old forms were accustomed to, not sufficient.
So, Dwayne, when you fly your little new bird to Canada,
next week,
Mexico, Thank you.
Does anyone use the iPad cockpit yet?
Yeah, I've used my.
Is it like this or?
Not like that. No, I don't have the ADS-B receiver, so I just use the. I have a little BATF GPS add-on for a more sensitive GPS than what comes in the system, and I use the pilot charts moving map, which just basically gives me a sectional on the screen with my airplane icon position, and it acts like a moving map to show me where I am, plot my flight plan, and I can pick arbitrary points or use regular VORs or just go point to point, whichever one, and it'll follow my or show my track versus my projected path.
My airspeed, altitude, and other stuff.
Yeah. Do you find it sufficient for VFR navigation?
I do. I have not had any
reply only. Flip it only for VFR?
Yeah.
I've used it with my instructor before, and I wasn't personally using it. He's making me do the navigation and everything, but he was using it, and it seems sufficient.
Was it this app you were using, or a different one?
It was just the chart, and like you mentioned, the moving icon. Okay.
Yeah, pilot charts is the one that I use. It's a different application, but that's doing about the same thing.
I'm interested in this because I'm thinking of my panel now, and I'm adding up numbers that are very big, and man, all of a sudden, this looks like a lot of capability, and knocking those numbers way down, the dollars way down.
I have seen complete flight instrument packages for the iPad to act as an instrument panel. I saw one. I can't remember the ultralight category, but the person that built it, instead of putting all the instruments in the panel, he put a iPad holder in his cockpit. His engine gauge is off to the side, so whenever he walked out his airplane, he pops his iPad into the center console right there, boots it up, and then there's his HSIs, AES, some other basic flight instruments as well. At that time, these cabin apps weren't around, so he's probably been able to add those without really changing the airplane at all.
I found one that's an accelerometer. You bolt it to the end of the plane, it's got to be fixed to the structure, and it's Bluetooth, which is wireless for all this stuff, which makes it very convenient. And the guy that wrote the review on it, he's a builder, he said he loved it because now, although he has some of his steam gauges, he's got a complete attitude indicator, everything built onto a screen. So it's all in. Yeah. He said everything hooks in and is all hooked up wirelessly. And when he leaves, he just unplugs the iPad from his little docking station or yoke, however he had it. And with an 8-hour battery life, that's longer than my bladder. So I think it's kind of neat. It's going to save builders a lot of money. I know Coleman's flight instructor, they fly with this, running the core flight. Of course, it's cheap as dirt now. You know, it might get you in there. Of course, anything that competes with Garmin is happy with me.
Actually, Garmin has started making apps for the iPad also.
Yeah, Garmin still hooked into the XM radio. And they have another device that's going to compete with Sporty's. So hopefully next week we'll have one. We'll play with it.
More and more of this all the time. Everybody's getting it. And it's going to get cheaper and cheaper.
Well, the same device runs off of this. I mean, this will display everything that the iPad will display, and Bluetooth with all the peripherals. So that's my presentation.
Now, I got a little one, but
it's hooked up to Google Earth, and you can actually drive along the street and see the trees going by you and the houses and everything. It's amazing.
It's cheap. And that's, since everything else is taking our money, then we might as well find something at least the government's paying for it so you get some of your tax money back.
Yeah, the ADS-B system.
ADS-B and the traffic is coming up.
Well, now you can't afford to buy Stingrays to put into a cockpit panel anymore.
Right.
The electronic ones are so much less expensive.
So we'll play the one next month.
All right, and I'm obviously new to this, and so I just wanted everybody, if anybody wanted had any input or ideas or anything that they would like to contribute, I would really appreciate that.
I got some ideas. Sarah came up with the EAU website had a list of ideas for programs. 3 pages of them. So the question is, what can we do? What are some topics that interest us? Can we, let's get a plane started. I know we got a request from a student to help build a part of an airfoil for this build team's competition. It's going to be one of those multi-task machines that does absolutely nothing. And one of the components is an airfoil inside, that'll lift the switch to do something else, the next task. And we talked about getting students in here. Doug DeFeo is on board to help us. He's with the Board of Education and now the Board of Education President, Chairman. So this is your chance to, if there's something to interest you, start speaking. Yes, sir?
I think it's a great idea, and I think the some of the schools around here do a physical kind of, like, mechanical training for Georgetown Technical. Do they not have a program on building small planes or repair and fabric and stuff like that?
They got an A&P school. Well, no, they don't have one.
TIA.
TIA, which is a school that's partnership with Tech. So you go through TIA, and the other half of Tech gives you your Bachelor of Arts BA degree, so that when you leave with a mechanic certificate and a BA degree from Tech.
Not BA.
What is it?
It's a sociology degree.
Okay. And then Academy of Arts and Science, they have a pre-engineering program out there. And that's where my son attends that. That's where they've asked for some help building the wing. So anybody got some small jigs?
What size of wing are
you
talking about?
Homer, what size wing are
you
looking
at? It's not big. I'm thinking about maybe the dimensions of the cable that are in front of you. It's going to be in a little glass. So wind tunnel, have a fan blow through it, and the wing hopefully lift up 1 inch, and trigger the next chain of events. So.
I think that's right up our expertise.
I don't have any jig or anything that size. But we can probably come up with something.
This will be presented at the Myrtle Beach, what's the place called?
Right? Convention Center.
Convention Center. And hopefully the media will be there. Morey County Schools will all be there invited to see the pre-engineering wing creation.
This is a statewide competition.
Could that potentially be advertisement for us if we can say something about assisting with that, possibly?
Yeah.
And then especially if the media is going to be involved, and then we've got a lot of young people there. And I know that personally in my school, I've had several students who know that I'm a student pilot. They've asked me for flight instructor information and contacts and how to get involved in aviation. There really is an interest in aviation out there. It just seems unattainable for many people.
Three meetings, there's been mentions about the shortage of pilots. You all remember those discussions? I didn't believe it until Fox had about a minute and a half about the new FAA regs for commercial pilots. It went from 500 hours to now 1,375. What is it?
1,500 or 1,300?
Yeah, I had 1,500
stuck in my head, but I think
he
would have gone away to
1,500. And the airlines are screaming that we don't have enough candidates.
Yeah, because even the right state pilots got to have 1,500.
Yeah, I think
so. That's what's killing
them. So all this is coming from after the Buffalo accident, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, that one and one other one, probably Hendrick Motorsports. I think was the other one. Oh, and that one where they took off on the wrong runway up there in that area. And the co-pilot lived. He taxied out at night or something. Anyway, those three or four accidents is what's brought all this about, yes.
So they're saying all these accidents are because of inexperience?
Last time. They even had Sully on, was it Fox News? The other morning. He did a big thing about it. And basically, he said that had it not been for the experience him and his co-pilot had between them, he's, I don't think I could have ever pulled off the Hudson.
What does that mean? There's not enough pilots.
The problem is, there's enough pilots. They don't have the time.
Right.
And it's expensive.
Yeah, the traditional way of getting the CFI right after getting the commercial and getting enough time for the airlines, that's just not going to work anymore.
Now, especially when the guy in the right seat kid has got about $1,500.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get it?
What does that mean to us? We got an opportunity to recruit. So do we recruit them? My thought was to recruit the younger students with hopes of getting their parents involved in aviation to start building airplanes with us.
Right.
So you know, I don't know how, unless you're inclined to building your own airplane, I don't know if we have a huge population to draw new membership from. So maybe we can draw people in with aviation interest and get them involved in building an airplane.
Well, maybe I'm just kind of repeating what you're saying with a different nuance. I'm a lazy old man with a fascination to build. Don't have a lot of experience building, and if there were a few students who were good at welding, and good, I've done a little of that, I would partner. I mean, I would purchase some kind of a kit, form a little team, have a professor involved, or somebody here who has experience. So you take the older person with a little bit of ability to buy something, and some students with an interest in building. In the future, these kit planes and private planes and small planes, light aircraft, I think is a completely different world from the licensed pilots in the commercial world. The hobbyists and the retired people could itself become an exploding market.
Well, the other thing you could do is if you had the volunteers, flight instructors, they could build the airplane, and if it's a two-place, they can learn to fly it.
Right.
Just as long as the instructor's not making any money. It's not a commercial thing. All right, so you could actually take students that are too young to fly, teach them to build an airplane. The time you finish the airplane, they're old enough to start taking lessons, and they can take lessons in the same airplane they built.
Take flying lessons at 12 years old.
Well, yeah.
But you can't do anything with it until you're 16.
Yeah, the time counts. because that's your son down there.
But some of these students, someone like myself,
well, at 14, you'd get a driver's license.
Well, you can kind of obtain resources, and the interest is there. There's nothing to do with becoming a commercial pilot. Right?
Well, the thing is, if they're going to learn, if they thought they were going to be able to learn to fly and they're playing the bill, they'd have more interest in that.
In really well? In doing it well?
Well, then it would feed the whole population of commercial pilots that actually pollinated that whole lower level.
I guess to move on, we got a wonderful, the county loves it. I met with Mike Lapeer. He likes his being here. He said, y'all please stay and keep doing what you're doing and let us know what we can do to support you. So, and he said he'll direct as much media publicity as he can towards us. The question is, what do we want to do? And that's what's on the back of the sheet I think Sarah's trying to get to, is what do we want to do? What are some ideas for monthly meetings to make them interesting, to bring people in that have thought about an interest in aviation but aren't actively involved in it, and to get them to start participating? Fill out the sheet, please.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you. So, as we mentioned, the Grandstand Pilot Association, I know that we have several businesses and people who are interested in helping out with that. One of them is Mr. Jeremy Bass from Health and Helicopters. I worked there over the summer, and he's interested in spreading aviation and would be willing to help us out. You've spoken with him about that.
That's also a conversation with Mike Lapeer. Is setting up a pilot association for the Grand Strand. Whether they be civil air control members or EAA members or a member of the pilot club or the flight club in Myrtle Beach or down in Georgetown, that they kind of get an association of pilots. We had a huge one in Savannah, 300 members. And we could get pretty much anything we wanted from the airport. And so the cooperative effort is, would the EAA be interested in kind of heading up that, in the initial getting the word out to all the pilots and if nothing else, get everybody's name on the list so we can share information.
Any further comments on that?
I don't know the details, but I do know that the flying club is, I guess they're disbanding.
No, I think they're reorganizing. Yeah. They're reorganizing.
They don't have any airplanes, so let me put it that way.
One of them's sitting over here with no prop on it, the engine going.
Well, Jeremy Bass owns them all. He bought the whole fleet. And he intends to, this one's got to have an engine overhaul, it's got a cracked tank case. He intends to get them, they're in pretty bad shape, all of them are. And he intends to get them back in shape and then probably rent them for approximately the same price as they've been flying for, as close to as he can.
What it does is that puts rental planes back in the market.
Well,
which we haven't.
He intends to do.
We haven't had here.
You talking about Conway?
What's that?
It's going to be Conway? Where are they going to put them in the market at?
Myrtle Beach. But my point is, you've already got some pilots out there that are floundering around that somebody might want to talk to.
Okay.
This is what I was thinking about. I don't know how many was in the group.
And, is this fellow with the helicopters and everything, and he went and bought the club down at Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, because Mike Marlow retired back in June.
I said that.
I mean, I'm not positive, but I think Mike Marlow actually owned the aircraft. I'm not positive about that.
They had four aircraft?
Five. And anyway, Mike wanted out. So they voted to sell the airplanes because, well, basically the maintenance hadn't been kept up with to probably your standards. And, I mean, they were airworthy, but Like this one out here needs an interior in it, for example, it needs paint, but it's still an airborne airplane. Anyway,
until the crankcase cracked.
And, but anyway, he offered the planes to Jeremy, and after much bickering, and Jeremy finally gave a final offer and says, let me know by Monday, which was like a week away or something. It's, you know, the old theory that the airplane's worth a lot more than I think it is. And anyway, they finally settled on a price. You know, it's in the process. He may even have one of the 172s in the hangar down there. I'm not sure whose airplane that is in the hangar.
Well, what that does is we might be able to parlay that into us getting rights to rent the airplanes.
Well, that also, it'll also give you the pilot base, and they're interested in the pilot plan.
So,
and the pilot's organization. He's the benefit of the ship. The head count was there, and he had an organization, and then he was the standing there and saying, hey, look, I got airplanes.
Well, there are no airplanes to rent.
No.
Right now, I got a family of six. I want to go to Florida. We got to make three trips in my 172, or we got no other choice. And go down to Charleston, and we get right, we can rent in Charleston. But if you want to pack the airplane in a nice six place, you can't get one.
That's what T6.
So that's the whole purpose of the pilot association. I think that if we could pull that together, although it's not, if we could promote it, not join at the hip with it, because that's not what we do here, but we can pull a few members in from that, and that will also give us some access to, if you're in the market to rent airplanes.
So you're seeing the association with the Grand Strand Pilots Association as an opportunity to expand our membership base and bring more folks to EAA. I'm just trying to understand
that's the idea. And again, the idea that people who are singularly interested in building airplanes is that's a very small community, and so if we can spread our scope to general aviation, then from general aviation you can interest people in building aircraft and then expand our membership.
That's a backdoor strategy. Trojan horse it is.
But it works.
Okay.
Anything else on that? Okay. And the next thing is, I know that I was told that last year there was a Christmas party and that the attendance was not very good.
No, it was excellent.
Oh, well,
you heard wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. That's where it's been for the last two or three years.
Okay.
And we have so many people attend that we fill up the whole area.
Alrighty.
So what's the dates and times?
You have to set it up every year.
Okay.
And that's what you need to do now.
And early enough to get reservations at the...
Well, you see, that was December 12th,
December
12th,
2010, yeah.
You know, and we got another one exactly like it was December 11th.
Okay.
I mean, 2011. So, I don't know. Every year we vote on where to go. But the last two or three years, we went there because everybody I know was quite happy with it.
Yes.
Okay. We went to a lot of places. I've been here a long time. That place right there, I can't find no flaws in it.
What place is
that? Mangoes on the Beach.
Yep. Where's
it? Mangoes?
Mangoes on the Beach.
It's a little hard to find. It's a beautiful place.
It's right on the beach. It's at the bottom of a motel. And, food's great. Service is great. It's cheap. I mean, you're not going to get cheaper than that. And the food is excellent every time. So,
even my wife enjoyed it.
All we need is a day.
Pardon?
All we need is a date.
Somebody will have to contact them and set up a day, but usually we do it a little bit earlier than right towards Christmas, because a lot of people leave and they're going to go home and see their kids and all this kind of stuff. So to have the maximum participation, we back it up a little bit. That's why it's a little bit early.
Yeah. Well, we got 1 month
if we're going to
back it up.
Well, no, we still in December, but I mean, rather than being like December 20th or something, we back it up. That was December 12th.
This is the last meeting we're going to have before the Christmas party.
That's why I brought that in, because that's a discussion that needs to happen today. Okay. So if that's the same, if that's the place we want to do it again, all we got to do is call somebody, the president usually, call and set up a date, and then we put it out via email.
I think December 9th would be a good date to shoot for. It's always on a Sunday, right?
Yep.
In the past. And that would be the second Sunday in December.
Now, we got probably how many members? Maybe 40-ish?
Yeah, 40-ish.
Okay.
We've got two for next year. That's something we need to all pay our dues today, no later than the Christmas. And why I say that is because a lot of people are getting lazy and paying in January through February. They're not seen as members to the national group. When we fill out our paperwork and send it in the first week of January, we can only fill in the names that are official members that have paid up in good standing. This is the last meeting that officially you pay your dues for 2013. Has been for years. And I seem to see a slippery slope that everybody is going to March and April and June and July of the following year, which doesn't make you an official member. If you want voting rights and it to be legit, I really need your support. It's only $20, and I accept a check, or a IOU would even be sufficient.
I'm going back to the Christmas party. There's no time on here. What's the traditional time then?
We try to make it about 4, I think, or 5, wasn't it?
It's
slightly before dark.
Yeah.
4 o'clock?
It's about 4 or 5 in that range, yeah. Okay, really, you got to coordinate with them, but
whenever they open their kitchen, I think it was 5.
What was the price on that right there? It seemed like it was $20, and that included tax and tip. And you look at the menu.
What a meal.
I mean, it's
can't wait.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's me, man. I tell you what, it's a good place.
What's the name of the place?
Mangoes.
So we're at the 9th.
We need to put an EAA sign out on Ocean Boulevard.
It's really not that hard to find.
All right, and should I even mention the cap idea then? All right. And any other comments?
Well, as I was leaving this morning, I had forgotten that we had the iPad thing, which was great. Thank you for presenting that. Very interesting to me. As I was going out, I thought, man, we've got to have something to look at. So I went out in my garage and grabbed the first things that came to hand. And I had a Venturi there, and this is off my Stenson, and something that I've never seen before, but that's a central air filter for a vacuum system that is a reusable, cleanable filter, and kind of an interesting combination, very unusual compared to today's aircraft. So I had a high-tech presentation. Here's a low-tech presentation. If you want to take a look at it, this Venturi is a 4-inch Venturi, so if you drive one gyro, you would need two of them to drive two gyros. That's in my pile of junk in the garage. I'll try to bring something in every meeting. Maybe something a little more interesting than this, but maybe less interesting. I don't know. But
I got a question for you. How much vacuum can you pull on that picture?
You can pull the about 4 to 4.5 inches, enough to drive, and enough volume to drive 1 inch.
At what speed? I mean, where does it really start working at?
You got to be flying.
Now, I keep around. I've got one on my 701 and just taxing out.
Okay.
It starts to work. It starts my turn of bank working.
Okay. A turn of bank doesn't draw a whole lot of air. But do you have anything else hooked up on it?
No.
Just a turn of bank. Is it 4-inch?
Yep. A 4-inch will drive a DG, a Horizon, and a turn of bank. It will want it either a Horizon or a DG.
Okay.
Plus, it'll work one turn of bank as well as one of the others.
Okay. I don't think it's quite as capable as that, but you actually are operating one and I'm not. This is just in my pile in the garage. I thought you needed a bigger one to drive two instruments, but anyway.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Now, what's the filter for? You said it was a central vac. I mean, so it automatically vacuums out the inside of your factory?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
I need one of those.
Your plate clean?
So,
need one of these.
I hate to sound like a dunce, but...
No, because, well, this is the, on a vacuum system, this is the source of vacuum here.
Okay.
From that, you have your instruments. Okay, you have a Horizon, for example, hooked up to that. A hose going from that to your artificial Horizon.
Gotcha.
Like the attitude indicator. Uh-huh. Then you have a hose going and to a filter.
Ah.
Okay, now most filters now are paper, and you discard them after X number of hours. But that filters the air so that you're not gumming up your instrument, because the air from your cabin is going through your instrument and out.
Gotcha.
So
this is the airspeed indicator.
Not the airspeed indicator, the vacuum instrument, sorry. The DG or the artificial Horizon or the turning bank if you have a vacuum turning bank. So this one, like I said, I've never seen one of these before. This one's actually a screen, a fine screen. And it was in my Stinson. And Streamline Filters, Detroit, Michigan. Anyway, I don't know. I've never seen one of these before. They're little paper units now. And so anyway, if you have an interest in that, you can come take a look at it. These three go together. It's the core, the shell, the Horizon. The thing that's not the Horizon, the Venturi. The thing that's nice about these, as you know, you don't need anything hooked up to your engine for that. There's nothing to fail. You know, no vacuum pump to fail or anything like that. And there's some downsides to that. It's a little drag. It's not as powerful as your vacuum pump. It could potentially ice up. I wouldn't plan on using this as the only means of powering an instrument for hard IFR, but some people mount them down underneath the aircraft so you get all that heat from the engine going over them and keep them from icing up. And of course, mounting anything underneath the aircraft is, there's problems with that too. It's like a dirtier and everything. So anyway, it just operates by good old Bernoulli's theorem. Bernoulli's principle, if you look at it, you'll see it's a Venturi with a pickup right there in the middle of the thing, and your vacuum is drawn from right there. So.
Cool.
I'll bring something in next time. Go out to the garage and grab something and bring it.
Good.
All right. It's 11. Any other...
Please share your ideas so we can come up with something different.
Okay, I'll give you one. If you go to MrWebman.com on the internet, only conservatives can go there because the liberal is going to be terribly insulted. Okay? But on the top left-hand side, there's a link there that says how to choose your GPS. Now, what does GPS have to do with conservatives? Nothing. Just I like airplanes. That's my website. Go there and he'll tell you some of the things that you were talking about. In other words, why buy a 600 or a 696 for 1500 or 2000 when you can do the same functionality with that cell phone? Okay. There's all kinds of portable GPSs that are in the $400, $500 range, complete with everything. They're all listed on that website with all the links and everything there. So I spent about 2 days. I got mad because Lowrance abandoned my GPS.
You're on one?
I have a 2000. I've had it for 15 years or 20 years. I had it a long time. anyhow, and I love the GPS, but Lowrance says, no, we ain't going to make it anymore. So, and I didn't like the way they abandoned the GPS. They said, that's it, we're done, not supporting you anymore, you know, to heck with you, okay? That's no way to do it. You just don't do it that way, okay? You at least provide some support for some years or something. Anyhow, I got upset with that, and I said, I'm going to find out what's out there. And I've done about 2 days, all day long, doing the research, finding portable GPSs. And I found out that I know why they got out of business, because there is so much competition now for so less money. It's unbelievable. For $300, $400, or $500, you can buy capability that makes Garmin look like a joke. Okay? And it's all on that website that I told you about, MrWebman.com. And you can spell it any way you want. You will get there. I own every domain name that will that spells out Mr. Webman. So, anyhow.
If anyone wants an M1 Lorenz, I got one for free.
You can sell them on GPS for a ton of money. I mean, on eBay for a ton of money.
Yeah, $5.
No. Lowrance 2000, you can sell them for $100.
No, this is the old, what's it called?
The 100?
Oh, you're talking about a little tiny portables?
No, the original Lowrance, where they, what's the radar signal that the government abandoned?
Oh.
Lorenz.
I got a couple of those to sell.
And I want one of those. I got one real cheap.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Well, I use Navzilla as a backup on this cell phone right here.
Yeah.
Now, Stag Airfield, for some reason, my Lowrance 2000, I couldn't get myself into Stag. So I hooked it up with this. And although my battery was going dead because it was a last-minute idea, I stuck it on my glare shield, and I followed the path, and I turned it on just long enough to make sure I was on the path still. And I'd say, okay, that looks like the lake up there. I'll just fly to the left of it. And I flew right to Stag. I pushed the button. I said, must be right under me. Oh, right there. So it got me there. It's a backup plan. Now I've got power going to it, so it will never go dead on me in there. But it's a backup plan. I like your idea, but this here didn't cost me anything. And my wife gave me the cell phone. It's free, Navzilla, to download and put on it.
Is that Android?
Mm-hmm. It's an Android.
Yeah, anybody that's got an Android phone, you got a GPS in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Aviation GPS. Okay.
Anything else?
That's a membership phone here.
Yes?
Right after the meeting. Somebody wants to come to you.
All right.
I move the adjourn.
Second.